is leadership time at Bain Capital.
No, we won't be apologizing.
Romney's campaign wants to shift the conversation back to the economy.
The president is the outsourcer in chief with our taxpayers' dollar.
President Obama plans 2 days of campaigning in Cincinnati, and Romney plans a fundraiser today with Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. A stubborn wildfire in the northern California city of Colfax is proving a tough one for firefighters.
With the triple-digit temperatures, the single-digit humidity, and the extremely dry conditions, that's all come together to allow this fire to quickly grow out of control.
It's about 50 miles out of Sacramento and has already destroyed 4 buildings and threatens 170 more homes. This is NBC News Radio. 2 men are dead in Texas, a third injured. They were taking shelter under a tree during a thunderstorm when a bolt of lightning hit the tree.
It's like an explosion. Boom! I mean, it was real bad.
Local governments in California are looking at condemning properties as a way to fix troubled mortgages. San Bernardino County and 2 of its cities are considering the plan. Investors who stand to lose money are speaking out in opposition. The Syrian conflict has been officially categorized as a civil war by the International Red Cross. NBC's Ayman Mohideen explains the significance.
Calling it a civil war has real consequences because it means now attacks on detainees and civilians could constitute a war crime.
New fighting has broken out in the capital of Damascus. Dozens of economists surveyed by the National Association for Business Economics aren't feeling optimistic about the economy. Sales and profits are down, and they're worried about losing the Bush tax cuts. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
Newman, where's Shipley with my bust analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Only the Home Depot has Ridgid's new 18-volt X4 Hyperlithium Ion 2-piece combo kit for just $179. A $298 value that includes a compact drill, impact driver, 2 batteries, and a carrying bag. Unlock the power of Hyperlithium technology. We've got the combination. The new Ridgid X4 combo kit for just $179. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
As the cost of college and Americans' level of college debt keep rising, families are shifting priorities. Where the kids go to college is becoming less important now as the price becomes ever more the primary worry. Research by Sallie Mae and Ipsos find quickly rising rates of college freshmen attending community college, 29% this year, up from 21% 2 years ago. Also, more than half of college students now live at home, compared to 43% just 2 years ago. MSNBC.com is no more. The website created more than a decade and a half ago by a Microsoft-NBC joint venture is now called NBCNews.com after NBC parent Comcast bought out Microsoft's 50% share. 2 movie franchises, each with a lot of movies, battled it out at the box office this past weekend. In the end, Ice Age Continental Drift beat out The Amazing Spider-Man, $46 million, at the box office. S&P futures losing 5 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Hello, this is Bank. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. My wife and I just had a baby, and I need to cash in my CD early.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank
Please
you.
Note, early withdrawal penalties do apply. Fees are up to but not restricted to 50% of the CD's value. All withdrawals...
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say, how can I help you? At Ally Bank, we offer a no-penalty CD that lets you withdraw all your money after the first week of funding and keep the interest earned with no penalties. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud. Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email. Avoid penalties. Visit Barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/archiver.
Doctor, teacher, judge. These are just a few of the people who've lost a child to heat stroke after leaving them in an empty car. 33 children died last year alone. It can happen to anyone. Even you could forget a sleeping or quiet baby. If you have small children, get in a habit of checking the backseat every time you exit your vehicle. It could mean the difference between life and death. Where's baby? Look before you lock. To learn more, visit safercar.gov/...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society, while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
Welcome, everybody. Oh, welcome indeed. 6 minutes after 6 a.m. on Monday, the 16th day of July, 2012. Early and often, as they say. And what am I referring to? This evening, the doors open at 6 o'clock. The festivities begin at 6:30. A candidates forum at the Grosse Pointe War Memorial, where yours truly, Tony Trupiano, will be moderating a candidates forum for candidates running for Congress in the 14th Congressional District. All four major Democratic candidates have been invited. Three have confirmed that they will be there. The four invited would be Hanson Clark, Gary Peters, both congressmen, Mary Waters, former state rep, and Mayor Brenda Lawrence of Southfield. They have all confirmed, with the exception of Hanson Clark, and we hope that he will be there so that the voters get a chance to hear from all of the major candidates. But whether Congressman Clark is there or not, we will proceed, and very much looking forward to that. If you'd like to go, just go. You just need to show up. That's it. The Grosse Pointe War Memorial. Google it. Simple to find, I promise. And we'll talk about it a little bit more as we work our way through the morning. But that is this evening, which means I've got to get a nap in today, which, of course, has nothing to do with you at all. We have a really good show. Not that we don't always have really good shows, but this one's pretty special. Nikitra Bailey will be joining us. She is... She's going to talk to us, and interestingly enough, she is the executive vice president, by the way, of the Center for Responsible Lending. And at a time where people being able to afford to buy their own home or stay in their home is a big issue, we're going to explore that. So we'll look forward to talking to Nikir. I got to make sure it's right. I think it's Nick Tria. I don't know. Well, we'll get it from her. Don't worry about it. We got it covered. We'll have it covered. Anyway, that's that. Fran Brennan from Working America with us at 7:35. Great report out, independent report out, why Working America is working for America. We'll get with Fran on that. Mark Brewer joins us in the 8 o'clock half hour with our Monday Mornings with Mark segment. Mark always has lots to talk about. Today, no exception. And it's my understanding that Senator John McCain will be in the Detroit area today for Mitt Romney. And I got to tell you, I did not hear from anybody that went out to the Tea Party rally to listen to Sarah Palin speak. And I had a handful of people said they were going to go. So if they went, they either were terribly unimpressed, she didn't show, they didn't go, but I didn't hear anything. And I did not end up going because, mostly because I couldn't get a confirmation when she was going to be on. And I wasn't, as hot as it was on Saturday, no way I was going to go stand out there for 6-7 hours. Just to hear somebody I didn't really want to hear talk anyway. We'll get back to that. And then at 8:35, Christine Berry joins us in our blog roll segment for today. Topic du jour, voter suppression. Let's get it going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Critical. I don't know that we understand the importance of the word critical, or we give it the weight that it deserves. It's critical that you know this. What does that mean to you? If I were to say it's critical that you understand something, do you understand that means that it's a must? It's a definitive. It is an absolute. Critical means, yeah, now. It's like, hello, jump up and down, scream, holler, alarms. Buzzer's going off. Critical. Flashers, the whole nine yards. Critical. I think that we've been desensitized to the importance of the nature of the word critical. I'm not sure that people really do take critical seriously. I think part of the reason for that is the media will send messages. They'll float these message. It's critical that you know this when it really isn't that critical. So there's a difference between importance or important to me and critical. Critical is something you have to know. Is it critical that you know that Willard Romney stayed at Bain longer than he is saying? No, it's not critical. You know that. It's not. It's not life changing. Well, it could be life-changing. Well, I'm just saying, it's not critical. You know it. It might be important. Even urgent, I would suggest. But critical, no. Critical is life-changing, life-affirming. You need to know this or else. And it's the or else that matters. So critical becomes an important part of the dialogue. I just think that we've desensitized, like so many words and deeds in society, we've desensitized to them, and that's never a good thing. Never. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's critical that you start paying attention and then deciding for yourself, I guess, at this point, what is and what isn't critical, because I don't know that we can trust the word anymore, sadly, and that's the way it is. Yep, today's first word is critical, and nothing critical in the world of sports over the weekend, but I'm happy to report, Mr. Radford, the Tigers won a series against the Baltimore Orioles. The game Saturday night was profoundly disappointing, as they had it within their grasp to win more than once and didn't walk away with a victory, but it's behind us now, so we move on.
Well, of course it's behind us because of what happened yesterday. And it's funny to me because this, you know, I've thought this before and we've talked about it before. And by the way, good morning. But we've talked about it before. Like, you think about, you know how the Dallas Cowboys are called America's team?
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers are more America's team, more of a unique, diverse group of guys than any other sports team. Think about yesterday. A dominating performance on the pitching mound. Started out with a white guy. All right, and then Cabrera from Venezuela hits a home run. Prince Fielder had a great game. Austin Jackson had a great game. They're both African-Americans. I mean, you go all the way through this lineup, and there's just a very diverse group of guys who are very talented and can get it done. And yesterday was dominating by their stars.
Yeah, well, you know, they did win 4-0. Miguel Cabrera hit a monstrous home run, as many of his and Prince Fielder's seem to be these days.
Oh, did you see when Prince came close?
Ooh.
He has, like we said, that classic uppercut swing, and this time though he didn't throw the bat down, so you knew he was going to the deepest part of the park. He must have hit that one at least 400 feet, but it needed to be 412 feet to get over the fence. So,
well, it's good to see them playing good baseball, and they are playing good baseball. It's good to see them within spitting distance of first place, but we need to get the second place first, and we're not quite there yet. But that's okay. We're playing good baseball, and I still believe that they will do well in the second half, as we're just beginning the second half of the season. And I want to remind people, if this doesn't put it in perspective for you, by the time baseball's over, there's actually a chance of snow during the World Series. There is now. Seriously, there is. So be mindful that there's a lot of baseball yet to play. Kind of scary when you think about it that way, isn't it, Jeff?
You are all about, like, last week it was, football season's almost here. Now
what
you're talking
almost
snow.
Here? It is almost here.
Football and snow is all you can talk about in the middle of July.
No. Listen, Jeff, I don't know why you're having such a problem with reality. Why is that?
The reality is it's 90s, high 90s.
I'm well aware of that.
Oh, it's going to be incredibly
warm. Sun yesterday. I got sick last night. I was wasted. In fact, I don't feel very well this morning because of it. So yeah, I'm well aware of what the heat is.
So, and that's why you're trying to get some cool thoughts here, snow and football season
just,
and all this?
Just making a point, Jeff.
The point is, that what are you going to talk about when winter's here? Like how almost summer's almost here and it's going to be 90s again?
No.
Remember a year ago, a report was released that said this upcoming winter is going to be the harshest winter. Snow drifts so high because of what the experts were saying.
Yes, the Farmer's Almanac people, which makes me laugh because they're wrong so often.
Well, they couldn't be more wrong with last winter. But
think about it. We haven't had, and I, you know, at the very end of winter, there was, and I think we briefly talked about this. And I don't know if it ended up being true, to be honest with you, but they said that we were going to have a real problem with bugs this year because we didn't get a hard freeze last winter. And we didn't get a hard freeze last winter. My pool never froze solid, and it always freezes solid. It did not. It did not freeze last year. And so we were told that there, you know, that we're gonna, that the bugs were gonna be gigantic and there were gonna be, you know, we're gonna just have all kinds of infestation because they didn't get killed off in the off season. And I don't know that that happened. So I think even when the experts think they're right, they're, never really right. Experts. There's a title for you. You get actually more money to be an expert, Jeff. Just saying.
Oh yeah?
Well, that's the rumor. All right. Well, I'm an expert on this. We've got to take a break. In fact, 30 seconds from now. And so I'm going to say we'll be back. 888-552-3595. Obviously a lot to talk about in this first hour and moving forward. And again, we'll remind you repeatedly that tonight is the big candidates forum out in the 14th Congressional District. If you'd like to participate, we'll give you more info as we work our way through the day. Stay where you're at. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Motor City Mini Dealer.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, it is quiet so far, but of course we got construction to watch out for. 94 westbound at 23 Mile Road exit. That ramp is closed for construction. M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. Two lanes are closed for pavement repairs. And we got some construction coming up today on Civic Center Drive in both directions between Evergreen and Northwestern Highway. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The Mini Cooper Hardtop gets 37 miles per gallon. That's 37, commute-changing, rarely having to fill your tank miles per gallon. Get the $0 to motor lease with zero money down and $249 per month. Visit MotorCityMini.com for details.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Yes, it is a very early Monday morning. We're going to get into some local stories. And then after the bottom of the hour break, we'll talk about Willard and Bain and President Obama and all kinds of good stuff. But honestly, you think about we're now entering our second major heat wave of the summer. Summer's not technically a month old. Are you guys all aware of that? I mean, really, we just started summer the 21st of June. So we're 5 days or so away from only being a month into summer, and we're into our second major heat wave. Not to mention the fact we've had very little rain. Very little rain. And I'm sure you've noticed lots of very brown lawns dotting all of Metro Detroit. That being said, I made the terrible mistake of not staying hydrated after being outdoors pretty much all day yesterday. And it all came crashing in on me. And about six or so, I got a really bad headache, which should have been my first clue that I was dehydrated. And then I got quite sick. Anyway, just glad that's behind me now. The point of my saying all this, of course, is stay hydrated. Got to stay hydrated. Okay, let's get a couple local stories, and then we'll move on to the good stuff. Not that this stuff isn't good, but nah, you know what I mean. All right, Mayor Janice Daniels, who, by the way, was one of the speakers at the big Tea Party rally in Belleville on Saturday, which I and apparently most of you did not attend either, commenting on the recall effort against her and her wanting to fight it, of course, is what she had to say.
Here's what she's trying to say. She is trying to say that 1,055 signatures need to be thrown out because of the dates. You know, when you sign a recall petition or any petition, you have to date it. She's saying somebody else put these dates in, and that's the basis of her legal challenge.
Troy's mayor found herself in a heap of trouble after posting a homophobic remark on Facebook that went viral and got national attention. And then there was controversy over a planned transit center for Troy.
I don't look back. I look forward, and I hope to improve the city of Troy in any way that I can.
Residents have launched a recall campaign and have turned in more than enough signatures. Daniels is questioning the validity of some of those signatures based on the date. But a well-placed source inside the Oakland County GOP tells me her challenge is likely to go nowhere, which means voters in Troy will be asked whether they want her recalled in November. So what does Daniels do next?
I will go door knocking. I will meet the people in the community. I'm having a State of the City address on September 20th. I go to many, many events. I have speaking engagements that I attend. And in any way that I can, I have to get the message out about who I am.
Daniel's fate as far as this recall election goes is in the hands of the Oakland County Clerk's Office. Word from them is that we will probably get a decision sometime on Monday. We're in Troy at this hour. Mara McDonald, Local 4.
Yeah, and it would be highly doubtful. They did an interview with the print media last week. That's the county clerk's office in Oakland County, basically saying that she doesn't have a leg to stand on. She was saying that the people that wrote in the date, the writing is different than the people that signed it, and they said that they found no compelling reason to believe that that's true. And the county clerk right now happens to be a Republican. I don't think Janice Daniels is very well respected within the ranks of the Republican Party, but hey, that's just me. Could be wrong. All right, we move on. Betting on Fecano? Anybody betting on Fecano? Are you betting against Fecano? Well, according to Charlie LaDuff, be careful. Well, just be careful what you're betting on. Let's listen to this.
Fecano's a loser. Fecano's a little guy who should be put out to pasture. Not that Fecano. This Fecano.
How's Fecano doing?
Well, he's not on his game right now, you know. And he's not as bright as he's supposed to be, not as up as he's supposed to be. Because I think he's a non-sweater, and the heat's been hurting that a lot. And I think in time, he'll come around a little bit.
You're talking about this Fecano?
Yes, this Fecano.
Now, Fecano the horse was given to Jackson by a guy named Charlie Williams, a thoroughbred horse breeder. Turns out Williams was also Bob Ficano's deputy CEO a few years ago and a current appointee to the Wayne County Airport Board. I called Williams, who said that the horse was not named after his former boss, Fecano, that it was just a coincidence. That's the same Charlie Williams who presented the developer to county commissioners for the now-failed Pinnacle Race Course that cost Wayne County taxpayers millions of dollars. That's the same Williams who was paid $420,000 to broker a land deal where the new county jail will be. Both deals were put together by then-county development czar, Turkia Mullen. 2 weeks after Williams got paid for the land deal, he voted for Mullen to head the airport. Williams calls that a coincidence. Well, Mullen's been fired, and all three are now the subject of an investigation by the FBI. Coincidence. And wait, there's more coincidences. Coincidences between the horse named Fecano and the political boss named Fecano. So there's a horse named Fecano.
Strange. I never heard of a horse named Fecano. How many races has he won?
None.
Well, sounds like a good name for him then.
Not too swift. Fecano's not too swift.
Thought he'd be something special.
No, he's, what'd you call it?
Just a cheap horse.
Will you be resigning? Are you Fecano's driver?
I'm Fecano's driver.
Do you get a pension?
No, I'm afraid not.
The other Fecano's driver gets a pension. How many appointees does he have?
None.
The other Fecano's got 200. Does this Fecano pay his property taxes?
We pay taxes on him, yes. I don't think he's going to resign.
Which one are you talking about?
Both of them.
Have you been contacted by the FBI? No comment.
No comment. Ooh, the very last question. Have you been contacted by the FBI? Isn't no comment the same as saying yes? Dun, dun, dun. All right, Charlie the Duff, you know, in and of itself, is probably making a career off of Bob Fecano, not the horse Fecano. Because, and let's be mindful here, the horse Fecano is just Fecano, not Bob Fecano.
You know who Fecano the horse's dad is?
I really don't.
Giacomo.
Really?
Yeah, remember him?
Oh, sure. Very famous horse.
And then the mom is, gosh, something... starts with an F. But they said that it's just a coincidence that the name is Ficano, because it's actually a put together of the mom and the dad's names. I don't know how you get from Giacomo and this other name to Ficano. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really fit, but that's what they say. Coincidence. Okay.
I think not. I don't think that's a coincidence. Yeah, that's a little. I mean, if they're actually expecting us to buy that. No, and they are, obviously, or they wouldn't have thrown it out there. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Willard Romney has a Bain problem, has a tax problem, has a public relations problem. But will it matter in the end? And some would say that's my problem. We'll get to that on the other side. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. Don't rush me, Anthony. I'll get out of here in time. 888-552-3595. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking your traffic, we are trouble-free as far as accidents or slowdowns, but of course we always got construction. The 94 westbound ramp to 23-mile road is closed due to construction until about July 27th. Also, M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes, road construction has two lanes closed until 5 a.m. Tuesday. Also, Civic Center Drive in both directions between Evergreen and Northwestern Highway, you got road construction that begins today. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Looking for a hot new way to pop? Introducing new Spicy Chicken McBites. Crispy, poppable pieces of juicy chicken breast with a spicy kick. New Spicy Chicken McBites, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Tripiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
By gollies, you've got to hand it to those Republicans in Congress. They're a tenacious bunch. No, not tenacious. More like dogmatic. Obstinate and obtuse, too. Pig-headed. Yeah, that's it. Once again, on July 11th, GOP lawmakers threw a group hissy fit on the floor of the House over the Affordable Care Act that President Obama and the Democrats passed 2 years ago, a law the Supreme Court has just recently ruled to be constitutional. The House Republicans hate, hate, hate that law. So, all 244 GOP members pursed their lips in a collective pout and voted in lockstep to repeal the blankety-blank ACA. That'll show Obama who's boss, they crowed. Well, not really, since their repeal won't pass the Senate, much less get past the president's veto pen. But these pouty solons are not really interested in legislating. They're into political peacocking, putting on a show for the fans in the far right-wing bleachers. And apparently, it's an interminable farce, for this was the 31st time that they voted to repeal the law. 31 replays with the same do-nothing result. Don't they have real work to do? They've crossed over from appearing ideologically steadfast to just plain stupid. They snidely assail the health care reform as Obamacare, as though that's a pejorative. But as the law has begun taking effect, more and more Americans are liking it because it produces real benefits. 30 million people who've had no coverage will now get it. Millions of seniors will get help in affording prescription drugs. Plus, all of us will get some relief from insurance company gouging. Obamacare is fast becoming a label of pride.
This is Jim Hightower saying, if I was Obama, I'd run on it and go after the petty politicos who are trying to take away the benefits that it provides for people. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock and a happy Monday morning to you. Well, Willard does have a problem. We're gonna certainly talk about that extensively in the next 25 minutes or so. This goes back a few days. You'll recall, starting on Thursday, really, the Boston Globe did a piece that questioned how long it had really been since Mitt Romney had left Bain Capital. Now, the Romney campaign and the Romney candidate said, hey, no. I left in 1999 to move on to save the Olympics. Dun-dun-dun-dun! And, well, according to his Security and Exchange Commission filings for Bain Capital, Mitt Romney, the chairman, CEO, president, and sole shareholder of Bain Capital, was there until up till 2002, so through 2001. Ed Gillespie, who has become a senior spokesperson for the campaign, was on all of the talk shows yesterday. The audio that we have for you is from CNN, and he talks about Willard's tenure and when he left and what they're labeling this as. Here we go.
There's all this documentation at the SEC and in press releases that say he's still CEO, he's the sole owner, he's this, he's that, and you have him sort of talking business speak, saying, well, no, I really wasn't all those things in the filings that I find in the SEC. So why is there such a discrepancy? And you can understand how people would think, that looks funky. We're coming off a time, Ed, as you well know, where people think that Wall Streeters and investment bankers get away with everything. Doesn't this add to that?
Yeah, Governor Romney took a leave of absence from his company to go save the Olympics. If you remember at the time.
This is a part-time leave of absence, and there are signs that he
helped. There may have been a thought at the time that it could be part-time. It was not part-time. The Olympics was in a shambles. There was corruption.
Right.
There was the International Olympic Committee was going to pull the Olympics from the United States of America, which would have been a huge embarrassment. Because of Mitt Romney's leadership skills, he was called on to do it. He took a leave of absence, and in fact, Kennedy, he ended up not going back at all, and retired retroactively to February of 1999 as a result. Democratic members of Bain, one Democrat who ran for the Senate nomination as a Democrat in Massachusetts, said, who was there at Bain, said he wasn't there. He wasn't engaged in the day-to-day activities at all. And Harvey Pitt, the former SEC chairman, said it's standard procedure for someone who still has the shares to sign the SEC form, even if you're not making the day-to-day decisions and you've taken a leave of absence.
All right. Well, let's say all that's true. Let's really have a conversation about. I mean, let's have a real conversation about this. Let's really stop and think about two words: fiduciary responsibility. You have a financial obligation to a company. You're signing a federal form, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission form. And you're saying that, yes, for a period of 3, maybe even 4 years now, because there's a story out in Huffington Post yet this morning that says that Mitt Romney, in their 2002 filing, Bain's 2002 filing, lists Romney as the managing member. We do know that he received a salary of $100,000 plus. So let's just ask ourselves a simple question. I think it's a perfectly legitimate question to ask. I'm not even asking it in a judgmental way. I'm just asking the question. You are the president, CEO, managing member, whatever. So you basically are the grand poobah. You are the founder. You are responsible. You are the guy. You are the president. You sign the forms that says that, yep, the buck stops with you. You are technically and legally responsible for the decisions that are made in that business, right? Is that the way we all understand this? Yes or no? Yes or no? All right. So we do understand it that way. Now, in any other business, doesn't that make you the guy, the person? If it's a woman, then the woman. But do you understand? I mean, that makes you the buck stops here person, right? You are, again, responsible. If anything happens, legally or otherwise, you are the one that has to answer to that. So explain this to me in plain English. How can you be totally legally, ethically, morally responsible for a company, yet walk away from it, not work there, not know what's going on, and not be able to respond or take credit or be able to deny or accept anything the company does for over 3 years? How do you do that? Show me another business or industry that allows that to happen. Please, as if I'm in kindergarten, someone explain this to me in a way that makes sense, because I can't make sense of it, period.
That's what Romney's all about, though, is taking credit for what's good and you know, absolving himself from what's bad. When they asked Mitt Romney to explain the job creation that he does, he included all of his time at Bain, which included the 3 years that are in question when the job creation comes up. But when it comes to, you know, offshoring or outsourcing, he gets rid of those last 3 years because that makes his numbers look better.
All right. So, Jeff, this is very simple stuff. I'm just seeking simple answers to simple questions, and maybe there's legitimate explanation that I just don't understand. So now we know there is actually a way to clear this up. And one of the ways that we can clear this up, besides Mitt Romney addressing it directly, which he refuses to do, is to actually give us his tax returns for the years in question, right? If we were to get those tax returns, don't you think that those returns would, seriously, don't you think they would tell a story about where his income came from, how much he made, etc.? Don't you think that his tax returns would tell us that?
I would hope so, yes.
All right. Yet we know that Mitt Romney is refusing to do that, even though there are Republicans, including the governor of the great state of Alabama, who is a hardcore conservative Republican, Bill Kristol, who is a hardcore conservative pundit, and others are saying, Mitt, just take the hit and move on, right? Everybody's saying just release. I'm not everybody, but a lot of people, including a lot of very prominent, respected Republicans, are asking Willard to do this, right?
Right.
And he does what? Keeps his mouth shut. It just begs the question, why is he being quiet? Why is he not responding to it? I mean, you can send Ed Gillespie out all you want or anybody else out to spin this for you all you want. Now, I said before one of the breaks, and I'll say it again, maybe, Jeff, maybe it just doesn't matter. Maybe the American people, I'm not saying the Democrats, maybe the American people really don't care. I hate to be cynical, but there is that potential truth. The potential truth is, you know, sometimes, I mean, he's their guy. So if we find out that he lied, which would, you know, almost be felonious, I said this the other day and I'll say it again, you know, lying isn't necessarily against the law. Depending on what you're lying about, it's not necessarily against the law. So, you know, maybe the American people just don't care. Maybe Republican voters don't care. That's okay. It's our guy. It's all we got. So, no, we're not going to bash him. We need him.
I think they don't necessarily care about, you know, the lying, because it's not the, I can see somebody saying, well, it's a technicality and it's, you know, people don't understand about the SEC filings and this and that. But I think what's getting perpetrated here, what's getting put out there, is the fact that he plays by a completely different set of rules than the 99% of the rest of us. Yeah, and that's the whole point of the 99% in Occupy Wall Street. He can get away with this because he knows these underhanded, shady ways of, well, I'm going to put my money over here and not pay American taxes, because that's the American thing to do, is to avoid paying taxes, is what the GOP said last week. So he plays by a very, you know, limited set of rules that only a very few select can get away with.
Well, that, I mean, that's, isn't that really kind of the beauty of being uber rich? Is that there are an entire set of rules that wouldn't apply to 99% of us. So the average person, even the above average, even the exceptionally above average person, wouldn't even know these rules exist because they would never apply to them, Jeff. So of course they're not going to know this stuff. And then what do the Republicans do? They turn around and say, there you go. You guys are you're envious of Mitt Romney's success. You're envious of his money. Not at all. Not at all. Not envious of anybody's money, to be honest with you. Not at all. But I believe that if we're giving somebody a job interview, and this happens to be for the most important job in the world, that when you are asked a legitimate question, you should expect and demand a legitimate answer. That's all I am suggesting. That's all I'm suggesting. And for people to suggest otherwise is disingenuous. We had some asshat call the end of the day on Friday. We didn't have time to take the call. It was at the very end of the show, which often happens with these hardcore conservative right-wing whack jobs that call the show. They always call with not enough time to have a real conversation because, you know, we're left with my little tidbit and their little tidbit, and I hate that, which is why I didn't take the call. But the bottom line is this person wanted to talk about Obama's outsourcing and how it relates to what Mitt Romney lied, how he lied about Bain. And they don't even belong in the same conversation. That I even had this conversation is kind of crazy. You see, but that's what happens with them. They just don't get that, you know, and maybe they do get it. And that probably the point, and we'll come back and talk about this a little bit more, but that's probably the point. They do get that the majority of people, they're apathetic or they're uninformed or ill-informed, and this stuff just isn't going to stick. But we have to make it stick. We have to be diligent. We'll come back and talk about this more on the other side. Stay with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
If I share with you my story, would you share your
with Tony Truppiano.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Next Friday, the world's greatest athletes come together on the world's biggest stage. Don't miss the biggest event of the year, the opening ceremony of the London Olympic Games. Next Friday, 7:30, 6:30 p.m. Central on NBC.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Chip with Tony Trivilliano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I do want to get to a little more audio. Speaking of Willard Romney, by the way, I understand John McCain will be in town today. We'll talk to Mark Brewer about that a little bit more. George Will, who by any measure is one of the more conservative commentator, pundits, journalists in this country, has been for many decades, well known, was, as he always is, on This Week with George Snuffleupagus, says that Willard is losing the battle by not releasing his taxes. This is what George Will, not Tony Trupiano, not Jeff Radford, not James Carville. This is what George Will had to say.
George, let me begin with this whole argument we saw all week long. The Obama campaign says that Mitt Romney is lying about Bain Capital, hiding something with his tax returns. You heard this debate on the other side. The Romney campaign saying President Obama is trying to distract from a failed record. Who's winning this argument?
Oh, Mitt Romney's losing at this point in a big way. If something's going to come out, get it out in a hurry. I do not know why. Given that Mr. Romney knew the day that McCain lost in 2008 that he was going to run for president again, but he didn't get all of this out and tidy up some of his offshore accounts and all the rest. He's done nothing illegal, nothing unseemly, nothing improper, but lots that's in politic. And he's now in the politics business.
Well, that is kind of the point, isn't it? I mean, that is the point. I've said myself that I don't think he's done anything illegal. That doesn't mean it's not improper. Improper. Look it up if you don't. Seriously, look it up if you don't know it. Bill Kristol, even farther to the right than George Will could ever be, on Fox News Sunday, well, had his own spin on the taxes. This is what Bill Kristol had to say.
It's also weird for Governor Romney to be saying, hey, I wasn't running Bain, as if there's something wrong with running Bain. Governor Romney ran Bain extremely successfully.
Isn't that what's meant by the trap?
The trap. Needs to defend it. This is what he did for most of his adult life. He is proud of what he did, and here's what he should do. He should release the tax returns tomorrow. It's crazy. You've got to release 6, 8, 10 years of back tax returns. Take the hit for a day or two, and then give a serious speech on Thursday in which he says, okay, we've had this ridiculous picayune debate about when I took my leave from Bain or when I didn't, and you can now look at my tax returns. Now let's have a debate about capitalism. Let's have a debate about business, and let's have a debate about jobs. And here is what I am proud of having done, and I will defend and strengthen business in this country, and businesses help make this country great, and here's my agenda going forward, which is a free market agenda. I'm critical of crony capitalism. I'm for democratic capitalism. He has to give a big speech in defense of capitalism, and that will elevate, I think, this race above this tactical back and forth, which I do think he's on the mark.
Well, and I'm not so sure that I fundamentally disagree with Bill Kristol. Here's the problem. Bill Kristol is making an assumption. Now, I will make an assumption that Bill Kristol knows more about Willard than I ever will. But he is making an assumption that if he releases 6 or 8 or 10 years of tax returns, I think he said 8 or 10 years, that everything will be fine, that there's nothing there. But it does... Well, it does, as Rahm Emanuel said yesterday, it does beg this question. What did John McCain see when he vetted Romney as a potential vice president? Let's listen to what Rahm says in his own words.
First of all, Mitt Romney's own father said you shouldn't release 1 year. And already he has released, in my view, he's released 1 year. Let's just take a step.
He says he's going to release his second.
Okay, transparency and what that says. He has released only 1 year. To the McCain campaign, he released 23 years. And he's telling the American people, I'm not going to give you what I've given John McCain's people in 2008. And when he gave them 23 years, John McCain's people looked at it and said, let's go with Sarah Palin. So whatever's in there is far worse than just the first year. You know, the campaign, the Romney campaign isn't stupid. They have decided it is better to get attacked on lack of transparency, lack of accountability to the American people, versus telling you what's in those taxes.
So what do you think is in there?
They're not enjoying this. And he can clear this up, just make it public. Now, the second thing, George, he did not just relatively. He paid 14%, about half of what a middle-class family pays. Second is, you've learned in just 1 year about the Caymans, about the Bahamas, about Luxembourg, and about Switzerland, all where his tax and different accounts are. His tax filing looks more like the Olympic Village than it does like a middle-class family.
Okay, fair enough. We'll let it speak for itself. It really does say something when he releases 23 years of tax returns to the McCain campaign, and yet they choose Sarah Palin? Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin. What was in those 23 years of returns that the McCain campaign did not want to have to justify?
Well, even still, McCain saw 23 years, and he's not one of these guys that is saying, hey, you know what, just put your taxes out there and take the hit. So he saw something that he's not telling Mitt to go out in public about either. So that kind of makes me wonder.
Absolutely. All right. Well, here's the deal, and we'll find out how this plays out over the next couple of days. As we know, Jeff, Mark Brewer released a statement on Friday criticizing the Romney campaign for not being forthcoming, for not being transparent, and we'll ask him about that just a little over an hour from now. But before we do that, it really does make you wonder, not just if the American people in general are not paying attention, but if it would matter. That's the part that really has me concerned. Now, we'll close our audio with this. It's short. Michelle Melkin, who is a conservative pundit, spends a lot of time on Fox News. She had her perspective on the difference between the candidates was fascinating. And I even said to Jeff, I wish that I were the one that would have said it. But let's listen to what she said, and then I'll comment on the other side.
Running Walmart, Coca-Cola, Nike, your job is to make money. A byproduct often is creating jobs. My question as a follow-up would be, does working in the public sector for your entire career, does that qualify you to run the economy?
Well, bingo, I think that the question answers itself. And, you know, that there's a very popular contrast and description of the difference between Romney and his supporters and Barack Obama and his supporters. And that is that the Romney types, of course, are the ones who sign the front of the paycheck, and the Obama types are the ones who've spent their entire lives signing the back of them.
All right. And, you know, that's actually an interesting point. And I'll let you decide why that's interesting for yourself, without my interference. I'll hold my thoughts to myself on that. Listen, if we have time a little later on in the show, we'll get to some more of the audio that we have, but it is really quite interesting. Willard, we have to keep Willard, front and center. We've got to keep this discussion going. And Jeff, I don't know if you saw this. I posted a couple things yesterday that got really an amazing response, and one of them, almost 50 people responded to Mitt Romney's having a tough day on a Sunday and got 50 responses to that. That's amazing. All right, quick break here. In the next hour, your home mortgage, I don't know, this whole housing thing. Are we ever going to figure it out and how to get back on track? Well, we'll let you know. And that and a whole lot more on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. Stay with us. We'll be back.
This traffic report is brought to you by NBC.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we are trouble-free as far as accidents or slowdowns, but of course we always got construction. The 94 westbound ramp to 23 Mile Road is closed due to construction until about July 27th. Also, M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes Road construction has two lanes closed. until 5 a.m. Tuesday. Also, Civic Center Drive in both directions between Evergreen and Northwestern Highway. You got road construction that begins today. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. No more free lunch on the web? The Wall Street Journal says the days of tax-free internet sales may be ending as more Republican governors drop their opposition to imposing state sales tax on web purchases. The controversial move would make online goods more expensive for consumers. President Obama is pressing his attack on Mitt Romney's business background. NBC's Brian Moore.
No apologies for the sharp new attacks on Republican Mitt Romney and his leadership time at Bain Capital. Romney's campaign wants to shift the conversation back to the economy.
Romney meets today with another possible running mate, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. And will an apple a day keep the doctor away, even if it's genetically engineered? The New York Times says the new Arctic apple has been genetically altered so it won't turn brown when sliced. Many growers say that goes against the apple's image as natural all-American food. This is NBC News Radio. Secretary of State Clinton heckled in Cairo yesterday. Protesters throwing shoes and tomatoes at her motorcade during her first visit to Egypt since the Islamic Brotherhood's Mohamed Morsi was elected president. Researchers are pinpointing the early signs of the onset of Alzheimer's disease. NBC's Dr. Nancy Snyderman.
While changes in walking are expected with age and slowing down is not necessarily a cause for concern, people with Alzheimer's and those with less advanced cognitive impairment walk slower than people with normal mental functions.
A new survey shows the European debt crisis is dragging down sales and heading to lowered growth projections and hiring at U.S. companies. 47% of businesses say sales have fallen due to the crisis. And if you don't have air conditioning, a fan is the next best thing, right? Maybe not, according to researchers who aren't fans of electric fans. They say blowing hot air over your body does more harm than good by increasing heat stress. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Hi, Dave Lennox here. Summer is here and it is hot. If your home is not cool, now's the perfect time to replace that inefficient heating and cooling system. Lennox is offering a rebate of up to $1,375 on a new high-efficiency Lennox home comfort system. So you'll save money today and in the long run. It may also qualify for state and local incentives in your area. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you and get comfortable today.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Only the Home Depot has Ridge's new 18-volt X4 Hyperlithium Ion two-piece combo kit for just $179. A $298 value that includes a compact drill, impact driver, two batteries, and a carrying bag. Unlock the power of Hyperlithium technology. We've got the combination. The new Ridge's X4 combo kit for just $179. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The dream of many young people, of going off to college, living in a dorm, and all the adventure that entails, is smashing up against an economic reality. Many parents no longer can afford to send Junior far away from home to college. New research from Sallie Mae and Ipsos find rising rates of students now attending community college, 29% this year, up from 21% just 2 years ago. Also, more than half of college students now live at home, compared to 43% 2 years ago. All in efforts to save money. Spider-Man's rule atop the box office rankings lasted only 1 week. The fourth Ice Age movie, Continental Drift, beat out the Spider-Man reboot in its debut weekend. The Ice Age took in a cool $46 million. The Amazing Spider-Man snatched $35 million. Stock markets down across much of the world. S&P futures right now losing 3 points. NASDAQ futures down 4. Most markets in Europe also lower. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hello,
this is Bank. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. My wife and I just had a baby, and I need to cash in my CD early.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank
Please
you.
Note, early withdrawal penalties do apply. Fees are up to but not restricted to 50% of the CD's value. All withdrawals...
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say, how can I help you? At Ally Bank, we offer a no-penalty CD that lets you withdraw all your money after the first week of funding and keep the interest earned with no penalties. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Marilyn, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Marilyn, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Only the Home Depot has Ridge's new 18-volt X4 Hyperlithium Ion two-piece combo kit for just $179. A $298 value that includes a compact drill, impact driver, two batteries, and a carrying bag. Unlock the power of Hyperlithium technology. We've got the combination. The new Ridge's X4 combo kit for just $179. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Welcome, everybody. I am that guy, Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you. We've got a pretty impressive hour of radio for you, and we're going to begin our discussion in this hour. Really, it's kind of a multi-dimensional discussion, because we do know, especially those of us that live in the Tri-County area, that the real estate market is really, for all intents and purposes, not getting better. I mean, there's some marginal success, but not the kind of stuff where you go, oh, now we're talking. And here's part of the challenge, although certainly the problems with lending and mortgages and real estate have at some level been colorblind. That is not entirely true if you look beyond just the surface. There was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, that some felt that the reason that the housing market bubble was burst was because the Bush administration, ironically enough, were too kind to minority populations and giving them mortgages without asking the right kind of questions. In fact, they said to mortgage companies, it doesn't matter, just lend the money, we'll worry about it later. Whether that's true or not, that's something the courts may or may not one day decide. But that doesn't change where we're at today. We do need to correct what's happened in the housing markets. But what happens, and how can we rebuild the dream of home ownership in this country? Let me turn my attention now to somebody that may just be able to help us. Joining us now is Nikitra Bailey. Nikitra is the vice president. She is the executive vice president of the Center for Responsible Lending, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that works to protect homeownership and family wealth by fighting predatory lending practice. Their focus is on consumer lending, primarily mortgages, payday loans, credit cards, bank overdrafts, and auto loans. Since they began their work in 2002, they have witnessed, studied, and fought against outrageous lending abuses, and God knows there have been plenty of that. Nikitra Bailey, welcome to First Shift this morning, and I hope you're well on this early Monday morning.
Thank you for having me. I am. I hope you are as well.
I am. I've got to tell you that this is going to be one of those discussions that I think is going to be profoundly important for people to hear. We look at the kind of work that you are doing, and we know that there has been really rampant discrimination, especially amongst people of color when it comes to lending. There was a time where we couldn't even have a discussion. Money became a little bit easier to get to, and so lots of people thought, well, I have been oppressed for years. I'm going to go get that mortgage, or I'm going to go get that credit card. I'm going to go get that credit that I so richly deserve that everybody else in society has access to but me. And in the process, what we found out was those people were just looking to make a killing off of folks, and in fact, what they did do was suck them dry for every penny they could get, took everything away from them, and said, hey, you're on your own, or am I getting this wrong?
You're getting it right. For many people, homeownership provides an opportunity to build wealth and to place one's family firmly in the American middle class. Sadly, for African Americans and Latinos, instead of providing opportunity, homeownership has become a downward climb on the economic ladder out of the American middle class because of rampant predatory lending practices. Predatory lending is a practice that actually limits opportunity because it places families in an unfair economic disadvantage. This disadvantage happens because predatory lending targets end up receiving riskier loans with higher costs and fees than they qualify for. And it's really important here for me to let your audience understand that many of the African American and Latino borrowers who received these predatory loans were not first-time homeowners. In fact, they had owned their homes and were living in them and have built up considerable equity. And that equity was under attack. What we saw was these communities were targeted by mortgage brokers to take the equity out of the home. And the reason why they did this, because there were incentives for the mortgage brokers, they would actually make more money on the loan to put these borrowers in more riskier products than they would otherwise qualify for.
Well, you know, at some level, the first question that comes to my mind, Nikitra, is, God, at some level, shouldn't that be illegal? But I know it wasn't, but man, shouldn't it have been?
Since 2006, my organization has released a series of reports where we have tried to highlight that what was going on in the mortgage market was a dual market. You had a market where white borrowers who had high credit scores, where one would define them as prime, were getting safe loans, traditional 30-year fixed mortgages, and those mortgages were giving them an opportunity to build wealth for their families. What African American and Latino families were overwhelmingly bombarded with instead of safe prime loans were abusive subprime loans, and these were loans that had risky characteristics that made foreclosure more likely for these borrowers. And as a result of that, the American economy tanked because housing is such an integral part of our economy. So when we left one segment of borrowers out in the field with these risky practices, they eventually became mainstream and end up hurting our overall economy.
Well, you know, and then of course now I would suggest that in most U.S. markets, the real estate difficulties continue. Certainly it's one of the indicators of a strengthening economy. And although, Nikitra, we do see that there has been some improvement, if we have got to go just a little under the surface, but if we do, we find that it's only a little better for white families. It certainly isn't better for minorities.
Absolutely. What we know at the end of this housing crisis, African American and Latino families are likely to lose between 11% and 17% of their homes. And this is for all people who own homes. This is a significant amount of loss for these communities because many families, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, were historically denied access to credit. And because they were denied access to credit, they have spent the last 30-plus years trying to play catch-up and to use home ownership as an opportunity to build wealth for their families. But instead of positioning themselves for a more secure future, what they have resulted with is a net loss of home ownership. And that net loss of home ownership is going to be devastating for these communities for many generations.
All right. Well, you know, so we take a look at, let's go back to the point of what you do at the Center for Responsible Lending. This, you're not just collecting data and reporting on it. I would suggest that you're an advocacy organization as well, correct?
Absolutely. We are, and what we advocate are fair and responsible practices. And it's really important that we talk for a moment about the recent settlement between the United States Department of Justice and Wells Fargo, because for a long time, when we were advocating that these very abusive practices exist, many people were denying them. And what this settlement shows is that discrimination was relevant towards African Americans and Latinos, and that similarly situated borrowers were charged more for the same credit product. So you had African Americans and Latinos being charged twice as much to three times as much as likely for a loan as a similarly situated white borrower. This created a great economic drain in those communities.
How is it that, with all due respect to lenders, how is it that they can blatantly lie? Well, no, we didn't do that. Well, of course you did that. We've got millions of families, well, hundreds of thousands of families that we could bring to testify to what you did do. Listen, it's hard enough for white families to deal with these situations, to embarrass and to continue to embarrass families of color, to take away opportunity, to really steal what little they have and place that in jeopardy should be criminal, and they should be held accountable.
You're absolutely right. Initially, what we saw was that these inflated housing prices were masking the problem, so a lot of people wasn't sure what's going on because a lot of these borrowers were subjected to repeated refinances. But once the inflation in housing started to decrease and we start returning back to normal housing prices, we started seeing how rampant these practices are. And what we're really pleased with is that as a result of these bad practices, the newly created Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was created. This is the only federal financial agency that has a sole design to ensure that these risky mortgages don't take place in the future. There are currently laws on the book as the result of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Consumer Protection Act that prohibits many of these practices, and the newly created Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is promulgating and creating rules right now to ensure these type of practices are not the practices in the mortgage market of tomorrow.
All right, we're gonna, if you can stay with us a little bit longer, we need to take a quick break here in just a minute, but I do want to continue this discussion. I think it's important that people hear it. And we also have, Nikitra, a very significant percentage of our listenership, come from minority communities, and I think it's important that they hear this. So stay with us. We're gonna take a quick break here and come back. If you'd like to join us, folks, if you have a question or comment for Nikitra Bailey, we would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. Nikitra, again, is the executive vice president at the Center for Responsible Lending. You're going to find them online at responsiblelending.org. If Jeff hasn't already done it, it'll be on the Facebook page shortly. Stay with us. We'll come back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Not doing too bad on your commute, but we have picked up some slow traffic on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. We got road construction as two lanes closed on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. Also, more road construction on 25 Mile Road in both directions between Shelby and Mound. And construction is going to start today on Civic Center Drive in both directions between Evergreen and Northwestern. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Truppiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday morning, Nikitra Bailey is my guest. She is the Executive Vice President of the Center for Responsible Lending. Again, you're going to find them online at responsiblelending.org. Nikitra, you know, one of the questions, it's a common question, it's an important question, but it's a question that needs to be asked and answered. Is it possible for anyone in this country to be able to live the dream of home ownership?
It is. And what we need to do is make sure that in the mortgage market, we go back to creating a level playing field. We know that currently a lot of borrowers are in mortgages where they're upside down, meaning that they owe more on the mortgage note than the home is actually worth. So what we need to do is make sure that foreclosure prevention efforts help mortgage borrowers refinance those mortgages so that they can take advantage of these historic lows in the mortgage market. And we also need to remember that this foreclosure crisis is not over. We're only halfway through. So there are many borrowers that still can be saved. And those borrowers need to receive mortgage loan modifications, meaning that that principal on those mortgages needs to be lowered because those borrowers will be able to pay those mortgages with a lower principal. And that will give the kind of opportunity to many families that homeownership is supposed to provide instead of the burdens that they're experiencing today.
Well, Nikita, let's go back to foreclosures for just a moment, because there are way too many people within the sound of our voices right now, and I don't care what color you are, I don't care what product you have, I don't care what bank or mortgage company you belong to, I don't care if it's a government-backed loan or not. The bottom line is that there are lots of people in the legal community that understand the foreclosure laws a lot better than I ever will, that have really taken advantage of what's happened over the last handful of years and continue to encourage foreclosures because, frankly, lots of people financially benefit from that. So even those that easily qualify for a remodification are not getting those remodification loans because, frankly, those that are a lot smarter than I am, perhaps not smarter than you, but a whole lot smarter than me, know how to play this game better than I do.
And that's why we push so hard for servicing reform. And in states like California, homeowners were actually just given legislation that creates a homeowner's bill of rights in the foreclosure process. And it outlines some clear rules around how these loans need to be serviced, meaning that these borrowers should get opportunities for modifications as opposed to getting layered on fees and redirected from loan modification. What we are totally advocating for is that all eligible borrowers get those loan modifications, because housing is a critical part of our economic sector. And when those homeowners get into a more financial footing, our economy is going to recover a lot faster than it currently is.
Well, that really is the point. You know, we have actually on this show, I don't know how many of these we've covered, but more than our fair share of people, whether they be people of color or not, that have had all kinds of issues with their borrower, and we've chronicled people that can afford to be in their homes, that have done everything they could, that have sent thousands of dollars to their mortgage company, that jumped through every hoop that was asked of them, that sent the same documents over and over and over again, only to be denied a remodification or another loan. You know, at some point here, okay, so in California they've done this, but don't we need the federal government, don't we need Congress to step up and say, hey, maybe we can't agree on a lot, but the one thing we can agree on is that we've got to protect those that are being unfairly punished just for living, because that's what they're doing.
Right now, there are more opportunities to refinance. The Homeownership HARP Act has been strengthened, and it's created so that more homeowners get an opportunity to refinance. So there is activity happening that is permitting these refinances, and what we need are homeowners to stay very diligent and to keep pushing that envelope and not to give up when they hit a brick wall. We need them to consistently demand they are given the opportunities that they know exist for themselves.
So even
that's going to lift up our economic challenge.
So even if they've already been denied by their mortgage company, they should continue to push on?
Yes, because there is a new version of the HARP program, and it's been relaxed a little bit to make sure that borrowers who are underwater can tap into these historically low interest rates. So I would give it another try. I would not give up. I would contact that lender and see if I qualified under this new revised set of HARP.
All right, very good. Well, before we wrap things up today, Nikita, I think it's just important for people to understand that there is somewhere for them to turn to. If somebody were to contact if somebody were to contact the Center for Responsible Lending, would you be able to help individuals, or is this more of a, you know, is what the work you're doing in a more of a wholesale thing?
It's more wholesale. We do more policy advocacy. I would recommend borrowers contact their lenders directly, or they seek out a HUD-certified housing counselor to receive assistance. These housing counselors provide their services, and they are certified to help homeowners get a better opportunity on the other side. And they are also a good safety net for being the first line who can look over borrower situations and provide them with the type of guidance that they need.
And I do believe that's free, is it not? That is a free service provided by the federal government, is it not?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And before we go, it's really important that we talk about what the mortgage market needs to look like in the future. We need to make sure we don't unduly restrict credit in the future so that qualified borrowers can become and maintain home ownership. The travesty of this crisis is that a lot of people were pushed out of home ownership who, prior to these risky practices, were very successful at being homeowners. They had already lived in their homes and had built up equity. So we need to make sure that when we create the mortgage market of tomorrow, that borrowers are not unduly pushed out from having access to credit, because that's going to be a critical portion of how we rebuild this economic engine around.
Yeah, you know, Nikitra, I think that bothers me more than anything is that people fought for years. Minority communities fought for years to be able to get access to the same credit that others did just because of the color of their skin. They finally got it. And what did the industry do? They said, we don't care. We're going to take your money and we're going to run. And I'm so offended by that at every way you can be offended. We're going to keep an eye on this. And I would think, Nikitra, we're going to have you back at some time in the very near future.
I look forward to it. And thank you so much.
I appreciate your time this morning. Again, it's already up on the Facebook page, so go check out the great work that's being done there. All right. In the meantime, we've got to take a very quick break here. When we come back, Fran Brennan will join us from Working America, and we're going to find out from her, well, not necessarily just from her, why Working America is actually working for America. That's right. We've got proof. Proof, I tell you. We'll take a break. Lots to get to, so feel free to hang on, because, frankly, you need to hear what we got to give you. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDGW.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Motor City Mini Dealer.
Checking your traffic, and we have our first accident of the morning. It's on westbound 94, just before Maross. Has your right lane blocked, and it's causing heavy traffic from 10 Mile Road. Also, it's a slow go on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 11 Mile. And it's bumper to bumper on 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Does working give us value? And what happens to that value after we retire? These themes are explored in a recently published book by Katrin Lynch, Retirement on the Line, Age, Work, and Value in an American Factory. The book focuses on the Vita Needle Factory in Needham, Massachusetts, which employs mostly retired workers. The trend is called elder sourcing, essentially taking advantage of the lower cost associated with hiring employees already collecting retirement for a couple dozen hours per week. Vita Needle provides the employees with flexible hours, which allows for time during the day for doctor appointments and other engagement. But is it exploitive? In a recent interview, Lynch said it isn't.
In this case, these people are not being exploited, right? There are lots of forms of value that work brings to people, from financial value to social and psychological value, and we need to look at the context of what work means for people. What are people seeking out of the jobs, and can they live off of these jobs? In this case, given the supplements they have to their income in the form of the state safety nets, they can live off these jobs.
Lynch spent 5 years studying the factory and the workers, and said they don't feel like they're being exploited.
The workers often describe it as a win-win situation. They say, we know we're a good deal for this employer, and also this is perfect for me. I can come in, spend a little time working, chat with people, and get a little bit of a paycheck.
Lynch said one benefit is the company can keep these jobs in the United States and continue supporting the local economy. The employees have the benefits of better weathering the recession.
The recession has meant that there are many people who, if they were lucky enough to have retirement savings, they lost 30% of the value of those savings with the recession in late 2008. And so they're not ready to retire because they don't have the money to do it. There's also people who, even if they're fortunate enough to be able to afford to retire, they think about this like, oh, this is a whole, you know, given life expectancy now, I could have another 30 years to live, and what am I going to do in those 30 years? And a lot of people have said, I want work. Work is something that's important to me. I get a lot out of work in addition to a paycheck, and so people have started to think about part-time, flexible work as something that can fit into an ideal retirement.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
Rush Hour has nothing on the rush you get behind the wheel of a Mini, including the bigger four-door Mini Countryman with available all-wheel drive. Get 0.9% APR financing for up to 36 months on most 2012 Mini models. Visit MotorCityMini.com for details.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday morning. I said a couple times already today that, we've talked about and talked with Working America on this show many times, and I said, that I have proof that Working America is actually working for America. It's not just a clever phrase. It actually happens to be the truth. I tell you that the one question I am most often asked when I go speak, and I do plenty of speaking, as you all know, is what can we do to fight Citizens United? What can we do to fight all the money that has come into politics? Well, I have that answer, and I give that, and I deliver it. And all of you that have ever heard me speak, especially the last 6-8 weeks or so, know my answer. Well, instead of just giving you the one line, because it is a one-line answer, I'd like to actually give you a little proof. Back to, I'm going to give you a lot of proof. Joining me now is Fran Brennan. Fran, as many of you know, if you've listened to the show in the past, is the Michigan State Director of Working America, and she joins us this morning to talk why Working America is actually working for America. And Fran, I got to tell you, it was a pleasure to meet you back in May at the Progressive Summit up in Lansing. But more importantly, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today to talk about the importance of the strategy memo that I have in front of me. I got to tell you, this is pretty exciting stuff. Good morning to you. Welcome back.
Good morning, Tony, and thanks so much. Working America really appreciates it. Thank you.
All right, so here's the deal. Let's just be honest and have an honest discussion. No reason for you and I not to do that, right, Fran?
Right.
Okay. There's no way that Democrats, hardworking, everyday, blue-collar, rank-and-file men and women of this great country are ever going to be able to write a $10, $20, $30 million check to a political cause. Ever. There's no way any one of us will ever be able to do that, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Now, we also know that we can get a lot of people together and still not be able to write a check that large.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, but we know that, quote-unquote, they on the other side can do that. So we've determined that they can, we can't. So that begs the question, Fran, then what can we do? You actually have the answer to that.
You know, and Tony, you have really been such a good friend to Working America. It seems that you appreciated us early on, and we're very grateful for that. But it is exciting to get information that is independent of our organization, recognizing what Working America is doing and how it's having a really positive impact on the progressive movement. And you're right, with regards to Citizens United, there are incredible challenges for working families because they are not having their voice heard. They can't write huge checks, and they don't have an easy solution. And so what Working America is offering is that opportunity to have a voice and to be able to say to your local elected officials, you know what, you work for us, and you need to listen to us. And what we're finding is that the message that we're sharing with people is resonating and is very powerful throughout the country.
Well, you know, here's the part that is really, Fran, empowering for me. I just want to read this very simple statement. People can go ahead and Google this because, like, everything I tell people, I want them to fact check me. Andrew Levinson is one of the most recognized and respected Democratic strategists in the country today. Now, with that said, he gets paid to be right, Fran. He doesn't get paid to tell you what you want to hear, okay? He gets paid when he's right. If he's wrong, he doesn't get paid. So I want people to understand up front, this is a guy, this is a serious guy that does serious work. Simple statement. I'm just going to read it. Progressives and Democrats cannot possibly match the vast financial resources of business and the wealthy and must turn to building powerful long-term grassroots organization. That makes Working America, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, the most important political project in America. Now, Fran, there's that part of me that wants to say congratulations, but that's not what this is about. I don't have you here to congratulate you, although it's great. I have you here to once again recruit.
You know, and thank you. And Tony, if there's congratulations due to anyone, it's actually, I think, all our members, because they are it's a true testimony of their strength in numbers. And that's what's happening here. And just to underscore, as you know, Working America is a nonpartisan, nonprofit or community organization. But we, right now, what we are employing are the very methods that were used in the 1930s by our trade unions to organize working families. And that's exactly what Working America is doing now, is trying to give a community organization to the working families, not just in Michigan, but nationally. And through that mechanism, they have a sense of empowerment and they have a voice. And it's great to see that what we thought was possible, that if you talk to your friends and neighbors and you share information, that in fact you can make a huge difference, and that it doesn't have to be all about the, you know, really cool new commercial on TV, but rather that you had that face-to-face talk with your neighbor when you're walking your dog in the evening.
Well, and that's really kind of, well, not kind of, this is really what brought us together. And I want to thank my friend David Hecker, your friend David Hecker, for suggesting to me that, hey, Tony, you need to talk to Fran Brennan. You need to find out what Working America is all about. He didn't sell it. He just said, you need to do a little homework. And then, you know, if you think there's something there, then I'd appreciate it if you'd give her a call, which, of course, I did. And Fran, so for those the people that don't remember that, you know, what you guys were doing and what you're still doing at Working America is you're identifying areas where there's a particular issue that the local people need to be educated on. Listen to what I'm saying, folks. There's nothing complicated about any of this. You're talking to people one-on-one and saying, hey, by the way, did you know? That's all you're doing, Fran. That is all Working America's doing, is having a common dialogue with everyday people about issues that affect them and their community. Unless I've misrepresented it, I think that we've pretty well covered it, right?
No, you're right. I mean, what we're doing is having those conversations. And as you know, you don't have as many newspapers, and you don't have the kind of radio programs like yours throughout the state. And so people are not getting a lot of the basic information that's going on, especially legislative information that's going on in Lansing. And so our organizers are extremely well educated on a daily basis on what's going on both in our state and federally that affect our working families. And then we deliberately go over how we want to communicate with our members, and we go out and have those conversations and come back. And from listening to them, to identify what is of a paramount concern to the various communities in Michigan. And I think, as you recall, Tony, we discovered that with SB 619, the cyber school expansion bill, that that was a huge concern for families throughout the state of Michigan. And it was astounding, the kind of power, the grassroots mobilization of all our members. They made hundreds and hundreds of calls to their legislators and wrote letters and went to Lansing. And that's the kind of power we're talking about. It's really driving the new kind of social movement engagement that I think you share with us, that we want to see, that we want to have people feel that they can do again.
Oh, there's no question. I share that with you. In fact, we'll go back to that day. You had called me and I had already gone off the air, and you said, "Tony, is there anything that you can do to help us today?" I said, "Yeah, as soon as I get back to the office, I'll post this to Facebook. I'll ask other people to share it." Well, between my network, your network, and the network of all the people that we network with, Fran, there was this huge outpouring of information, of education, and a clarion call to actually make a couple phone calls. This was not complicated. People understood it. They did it. It did have an impact. And it happened, Fran, in less than an hour.
It did, and thank you so much for the huge role you played, because while working in America as organizers, we can go and have those conversations in the neighborhoods, and we can develop our members to feeling like they can be strong advocates on their own behalf. Having people like you, Tony, that also echo what the concerns of our members are is imperative for the whole process of grassroots organizing and grassroots mobilization to be able to take place.
No, that's because, Fran, they're my concerns too. I know I'm a blue-collar guy too. I have a family as well. I have to put kids through school. I've got to pay my bills. Fran, you and I are no different than the people we're talking to. We are one of them. You know, we're not somehow better than, above. None of that's true. We are one of them.
You're absolutely right. And it really kind of goes back to that whole 99%. I mean, we are that 99%, and it's I think the great news from what was written by the strategist is that when we go to the doors, so many people are feeling, and I think I've shared this with you before, Tony, there's a pervasive cynicism, there's a profound sense of powerlessness, and when we leave that door, we have transferred that person into believing that they, in fact, do have avenues available to them. And, you know, the fact that we are the 99%, I'm a firm believer, as is, you know, Working American, I think you are, that together we can make a difference. And while it's certainly going to be challenging, I think as long as we keep listening to each other and then spreading the message, that we have a real opportunity, but we do have challenges ahead.
Absolutely. And Fran, hold that thought. We're going to come back and talk some more, all right?
Great.
All right, you bet. 888-552-3595 if you want to join us. Much more to get to in the strategy memo that I shared with you. I'm going to talk to Fran Brennan about that. And, of course, you're always welcome to join us. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. We're up against the break. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us on First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
We're going to run out of time, and I just want to ask, what specifically are you going to do to provide universal coverage to the 30 million people who are uninsured?
That is not the issue.
On 1310 WDTW.
You don't think the 30 million people who are uninsured is an issue?
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service,
every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
First Shift with Tony Triviano. Alex Trebek suffered a mild heart attack yesterday. He is recovering nicely in a Los Angeles hospital. I happen to have a lot of respect for Alex Trebek. All right, so he's given to Republicans. I enjoy Jeopardy. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Who is Tony's second favorite Canadian?
That's right.
Do you think he gets tired of hearing the form of a question? Like, he's in the hospital right now.
Oh,
and the
yes.
Doctors are like, what is someone needs to take better care of themselves?
On 1310 WDTW.
Yes, he absolutely does get that, and I'm sure he's sick and tired of it.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Well, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, the Michigan State Director of Working America, Fran Brennan, is on the guest line today. I want to read from the strategy memo that I referenced at the top of the interview, and it reads in part, "It is a mistake to think of Working America as essentially a political campaign organization. It is more correctly understood as an attempt to create a community-based organization that represents its members in the political system, a quote-unquote citizens' lobby that gives working-class people who feel entirely helpless and disenfranchised a way to express their views and have an impact on the political system. It does not view them simply as voters that the organization wants to turn out on election day. It views them as members who it wants to represent on a permanent and ongoing basis." Fran, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that he clearly understands what Working America is about. We are very proud. We have, you know, well over 3 million members nationally. And Tony, by the way, we are very close to 100,000 members, and I'm hoping to give you a call again when we hit that mark in Michigan. But we are an organization that doesn't have one set agenda. What we are is a voice for working families. And there are members. And we in the state of Michigan have been here since 2008. As a national organization, we've existed since 2003. And we are growing significantly on a monthly and yearly basis. So our goal is to continue being that social progressive movement that gives people a sense of belonging to something and feeling that they can make a difference.
All right, again, reading from the memo, it says, "In some areas, Working America members join canvases and phone banks to reach fellow members or, as a group of women did in Kentucky, gather to write personal letters encouraging Working America women to vote. Working America members All signed petitions or letters supporting unions such as nurses' organizations in St. Paul, Minnesota, or joined labor rallies such as backing Pittsburgh's hotel workers in a contract dispute or Ohio union members advocating labor law reform. You know, Fran, a lot of this, not unlike what we were saying in the last segment, is really just about education. And I want to be very, very clear on this. Although we advocate, when I bring you on this show, it is about educating. We're not forcing this on to anybody. We're not saying you must think this way. You must join this organization. You must do anything. What we're saying is here's an opportunity to empower, to learn, to grow, to organize, to be a part of something that actually will make a difference. And if you don't want to do that, God bless you. Thanks for listening. It's really that simple again.
It is. And one thing I would like to underscore is that Working America is very serious about all the work we do, and especially with our organizers when they're having those conversations. So when we do discuss issues that are a concern for the member that we're talking with, and if we bring up legislation or if they bring up legislation and we have a conversation about it, our organizers are incredibly well informed on it. We do not want to mislead people. Our goal, and frankly, it's because we don't need to. We are letting people know the facts of the situation and then giving them the opportunity to make their own determination of how they feel about it.
Well, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is something that any candidate for anything that's ever knocked a door understands. And Fran Brennan, something certainly you and the people that volunteer with Working America understand, especially this time of year. This is hard work. This is really hard work. There's nothing easy about on a 90 something degree day, as it will be today, very humid, going out and knocking on doors and even talking to like-minded people who are sometimes a little skeptical to answer their door. There's nothing easy about this. It might be simple, but that doesn't make it easy. Therefore, Fran, we really do need to applaud the efforts of everybody involved in this effort, because there are times it can be a bit daunting.
Certainly, and you know, I think another large lesson that our organizers have shared is that when you go door to door and you're knocking in the neighborhoods, and whether it's 99 degrees out or whether it's, you know, 20 degrees out, our organizers are out there, and what they, you know, they are well educated, they are dedicated professional organizers, and their return message every night is that there are always people that they touch and that they realize they have made a difference in that person's point of view, that person is now feeling like they have an opportunity, that there is an empowerment and engagement possibility. And that, for our organizers as well as all of Working America, and is a wonderful feeling to have, that we're being able to give those people who have felt so disenfranchised and isolated the opportunity to participate with an organization that's going to value what they have to say. And, you know, just real quickly, Tony, and I know that you're well aware of this, we're fighting right now with so many businesses and conservative groups that have stripped away so many of the benefits that our labor unions were able to fight for us to have back in the 1930s. And what we're trying to do is re-engage people and re-inform them that they do have basic rights and that they can ask for things. We're at an age right now where people are afraid that they're going to lose their job. People are afraid that if they say anything to their boss, that they're going to get fired. We're almost talking pre-1930s kind of language, not just from the conservatives who think that it's great to refer to Ayn Rand and that very selfish kind of objective philosophy, but also our families who are just petrified that if they do anything wrong at the job site, that they will lose the only opportunity that they have to feed their family. And we need to to re-engage them and have them realize that they do have power and that they do have the right to ask for working livable wages and the right to have a safe working environment.
Well, you know, friend, you couldn't be more right. And in a day and age, here it is, the year 2012, God forbid you might show up at work with an Obama 2012 T-shirt on. And to be told at the end of the day that you're not needed to come back, and maybe it was just because you wore that shirt to work, shouldn't be that way in America, friend.
No, and I honestly, I was, had the benefit of growing up when labor unions were strong, and you know, any job that I went to, I know that I was getting a competitive wage because that people had to compete with all the union jobs that were in Michigan. And you know, I woke up today to Tony to NPR doing a story about American Airlines, and that while American Airlines has billions of dollars in reserve, they filed bankruptcy because they wanted to be able to rescind their union contracts and their agreement of union pension.
Well, Fran, we're going to have to leave it there because we're just out of time. An interesting way to end it, but we've got to go. Fran, thanks so much. We'll visit again soon.
Thank you, Tony, and have a great day.
Fran Brennan, the Michigan State Director of Working America. We'll take a break. Mark Brewer on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and we have our first accident of the morning. It's on westbound 94 just before Maross. Has your right lane blocked, and it's causing heavy traffic from 10 Mile Road. Also, it's a slow go on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 11 Mile. And it's bumper to bumper on 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikulaszewski. Just when you thought the heat wave was over, it's back. The Weather Channel's Stephanie Abrams says blistering heat will bake much of the eastern two-thirds of the nation this week.
We will see the 90s. We will see the triple-digit readings yet again, all thanks to a big high pressure that is sitting over the area. That is what's keeping us baking here.
Those triple-digit readings hitting the East Coast tomorrow. A new survey shows the European debt crisis is dragging down sales and leading to lower growth projections and hiring at U.S. companies. Energy prices are rising again, crude oil hitting $87 a barrel, while gas is ticking up 2 cents to an average $3.40 for regular. And now you can brew your own espresso on the expressway. Fiat says its 500L sedan will become the first standard production car in the world to offer a true espresso coffee machine, and it comes with matching cups. That'll perk up the morning commute. This is NBC News Radio. 3.5 months to Election Day, but already the campaign rhetoric is in primetime form. NBC's Peter Alexander.
The Obama campaign is doubling down.
Forever.
With a new ad using Romney's own rendition of America the Beautiful to go after his jobs record. Romney is slamming President Obama for what he has called an outrageous and reckless campaign.
Mitt Romney meets with another potential running mate today, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, while President Obama hits the campaign trail in Cincinnati. The service sector is leading America's comeback from the 2008 recession. A USA Today analysis shows 70% of jobs lost in the service industry have come back. And her career spanned more than a half century from Broadway to Hollywood. Celeste Holm has died. The bright-eyed blonde starred as Addo Annie in Oklahoma and won an Oscar for the Best Supporting Actress in Gentleman's Agreement. She was 95. I'm Jim Mikulaszewski, NBC News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Regular oil changes are critical to the life of your vehicle's engine. Protect your engine at O'Reilly Auto Parts with Pennzoil Conventional Motor Oil $3.49 a quart and save $1 on all MicroGuard oil filters. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Roofing pros. Right now at the Home Depot, buy a pallet of GAF shingles, including Timberline shingles with a lifetime limited warranty, and get your entire order, the shingles and any other supplies you need, delivered to your job site for free. You'll eliminate time-wasting supply runs and take your productivity through the roof, thanks to free delivery with any pallet of GAF shingles. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 15th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Job growth since the last recession technically ended 3 years ago has been greatly uneven when it comes to gender. Los Angeles Times analysis of government data find 80% of jobs created since June 2009 have gone to men, explained in part by the rebound in manufacturing jobs worked mostly by men, but increasingly men are filling jobs worked traditionally by women, such as retail. In part because of technology, but also in part because of job insecurity, more Americans are finding themselves putting in some work during vacation. A Harris Interactive survey finds 52% of working adults plan to work over at least some of summer vacation. A year ago, it was 46%. It also finds about a third of us plan to read work-related emails while on vacation. In the coming hour, the government gives us the latest reading of retail sales for June. A small uptick is expected in that reading, but because of auto sales only, ahead of that, S&P futures are down 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hello, this is Bank. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. My wife and I just had a baby, and I need to cash in my CD early.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank
Please
you.
Note, early withdrawal penalties do apply. Fees are up to but not restricted to 50% of the CD's value. All withdrawals...
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say, how can I help you? At Ally Bank, we offer a no-penalty CD that lets you withdraw all your money after the first week of funding and keep the interest earned with no penalties. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Nerlman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, were you sick too, sir?
Nerlman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes! What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Only the Home Depot has Ridgid's new 18-volt X4 Hyperlithium Ion two-piece combo kit for just $179. A $298 value that includes a compact drill, impact driver, two batteries, and a carrying bag. Unlock the power of Hyperlithium technology. We've got the combination. The new Ridgid X4 combo kit for just $179. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Only.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged,
so, but I'm not
that
sure.
They didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Welcome back, hour three, and pleasure to be with you on this Monday morning, July 16th, 2012. Mark Brewer will be with us in just a second. I promise he is awaiting our introduction, which we're going to give him in just a moment. Want to remind you that if you want to join us at any time throughout the hour, you're welcome to do that. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. With all that done, let's do that intro.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
That money could have been much better spent keeping teachers employed, keeping police and firefighters employed in this difficult economic time. What did the Republicans do? Now let's take $10 million and pay for our own private election. We decided a year ago not to do that to the taxpayers of Michigan. That if the parties want to do this kind of process, they should pay for it themselves, and that's exactly what we're doing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
It is that time, and joining us now is the chairman himself, Mr. Mark Brewer. Mark, a pleasure as always to talk with you on a Monday morning.
Good morning, Tony. Glad to be with you.
Well, thank you for not doing this retroactively, because that would have mean we already had the conversation, and then what would we be doing now? I got that, Mark, of all the ridiculous things I have heard in my political lifetime, and I've heard lots of ridiculous things, that he retired retroactively has got to be in the top five.
Oh, it's terrible, Tony. I mean, and frankly, the mockery and the satire in the last 24 hours has been pretty remarkable if you think about all the things that anybody would like to undo in their lives. All you've got to say now is, well, I retroactively did this or I retroactively did that. I mean, it's just, I don't think his spokesperson, as they were using that word, understood exactly what they were doing, what they were setting themselves up for. It's just absurd.
Well, you know, listen, very, very quickly, because this was not on our list of things to talk about, but I particularly took the time to watch Ed Gillespie yesterday on a couple different interviews, because on Meet the Press, and this is where I saw it first, then I watched it again on CNN. If you were watching his body language, Mark, he was a little bit frightened by what was unfolding. And I don't mean that. I'm not picking on Ed Gillespie. Ed's a very serious operative. This is not a guy that, you know, that lightly does anything. I really believe he was struggling with this yesterday.
Oh, I think he was, Tony. He's a very smart, good operative. And he was put out there to trot out this absurd notion that what happened during those 3 years at Bain, Romney had no responsibility for, even though his names were all over SEC documents that said he was the president and sole shareholder and CEO. But all that meant nothing, because after the fact, you can go back 3 years and say, oops, I meant to resign 3 years ago. I think Gillespie realized how absurd that was, but he was being the loyal soldier going out and trying to spin that.
Yeah, no question. It's ridiculous. Let's move on to some stuff. If we got time, we'll come back to this for just a bit. But on Friday's show, Mark, we had Joe DeSano on from Main Street Strategies, who shared with us a poll out of Jace Bulger's district that showed that his support there is eroding rather fantastically. In fact, Mark, if we glean whatever we can glean out of this poll, it seems to us that the voters in it, even the Republican voters in his district, are beginning to wonder if maybe the wrong guy is the speaker and maybe the wrong guy to represent them. I'd like to think, as Joe DeSano suggested on Friday, that you and the Michigan Democratic Party have a direct hand in that. Your thoughts?
Well, there's no question, Tony, that we've been very active in that district with the press. You know, we've talked about previously, we've been going door to door. We've been doing other things to let his constituents know the scandal and the controversy and, frankly, the bad votes, the poor public policy that have come out of Lansing since he's been speaker. As I recall in that poll, this whole notion of lifetime retirement benefits for lawmakers was very, very unpopular when voters in his district learned about his role in the fake Democrat scandal up in Grand Rapids. That was a major negative as well. So, again, it really is a matter of letting folks know about these terrible votes, these terrible policies, and people react accordingly. And particularly on that retirement benefit issue, Tony, that's an issue that affects every member of the Republican caucus. That's not isolated to the speaker, as is the scandal regarding the fake Democrat in House District 76.
No question. All of that is true. It's just... You know, I guess, Mark, at some level, I'm really pleased that people are, and maybe it's a time of the year, maybe it's we're getting close to the primary, but people seem to be not just paying attention, they seem to be retaining what they're learning. I would think ultimately, for those of us that need to see some good stuff happen on August 7th, that maybe we will.
Well, again, I think it's a matter of, frankly, the parties and our candidates and others getting the information out there to people. People react badly, Tony, as you and I both know, to hypocrisy, to people who say one thing and do another. And we've seen that over and over and over again with the Republicans, raising taxes on seniors, cutting public education funding while giving a huge tax break to big corporations. People regard that as hypocritical, keeping benefits for themselves while insisting that valuable, loyal, hardworking public employees give up their hard-earned benefits. People react very badly when that kind of hypocrisy is pointed out.
Well, you know, certainly, Mark, I think this is something that a lot of times people look at politics and they say to themselves, well, I don't know that I necessarily understand politics, so maybe that happened, but it's politics. And in this case, people aren't saying that. People are saying, I know right from wrong, and I believe this is wrong.
That's right. Yeah, it's very, very clear. You can't chalk it up to just inside baseball in Lansing. These are things that strike home. Again, when you're cutting people's benefits, cutting their pay and so forth, but saying that those rules don't apply to you. I mean, we see the same thing at the presidential level, Tony, you know, with Romney over and over and over again. Special rules apply to me. I can invest offshore. I can outsource American jobs overseas. That's okay, and that qualifies me to run for president. And that makes people sit up and take notice and say, wait a second. That affects me. That affects people I know. That affects my family. That's not the kind of person we were running for president.
In fact, you put a little video together. Let's play that now, Jeff, if you could, please.
I was born and raised here. I love this state. It seems right here. The trees are the right height. That let Detroit go bankrupt. That's exactly what I said.
All right, and basically, it's a little better in person, so go to MichiganDems.com. But really, Mark, what the Michigan Democratic Party put together was just a commercial that shares some honest reality of who Mitt Romney says he is and who he actually is, because there's a big difference between the two.
That's right. You may see some variation on that ad in the fall, Tony, just really driving home what we all know here in Michigan, which is that Mitt Romney did turn his back on us, would have let our big three auto companies and all the related suppliers go out of business. He's been very bold about that. He's doubled down on it numerous times. And this is a guy who comes to us, Tony, and says, oh, look at my experience in the private sector. Look at my experience creating jobs. That qualifies me to be president. If we had followed his philosophy here in Michigan, we'd be economically devastated. Those companies would be out of business, and we're not going to let that issue go. We're going to continue to hammer on Mitt Romney's hypocrisy through the balance of the campaign.
We were talking just a few minutes ago about how very smart Ed Gillespie is. Yesterday, on one of the talking head shows, he was asked a simple question. Does Mitt Romney support outsourcing as a way of doing business? Now, instead of saying, well, of course the governor doesn't support outsourcing, he didn't say that. What Ed Gillespie said was Mitt Romney believes in free choice. He believes that businesses should have the right to run themselves the way they feel it is best for them to be profitable. If I was paying attention to that, Mark, what that says to me is, of course Mitt Romney believes outsourcing is a legitimate way to do business. Or am I reading it wrong?
No, that's exactly right, Tony. But if somebody who believes in that philosophy, don't come to us and say you're a job creator, because outsourcing, offshoring destroys American jobs. Mitt Romney's record proves that. They've seen it time and time again. So, again, don't come to us and say you believe in outsourcing, you believe in capitalism, and there's nothing wrong with that, and then turn around and claim that you're a job creator, because you are not.
you know, it very quickly before we go to break, very conservative commentator Bill Kristol said, hey, what Mitt Romney needs to do tomorrow, which would be today, is release, you know, 6, 8, 10 years of tax returns. Then on Thursday, you know, take a couple days. Then on Thursday, give a major speech on why capitalism is a beautiful thing. Yeah, that's exactly, Mark Brewer. That's exactly what Mitt Romney needs to do.
Right, and if he gave an honest speech, Tony, he would talk about how his version of capitalism, I think in the Republican primary, is called crony or vulture capitalism, has resulted in the destruction of American manufacturing and the destruction of American jobs. A good, honest speech on that topic would be welcome for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, would. In fact, I think it was Republican Newt Gingrich that suggested that's how it would sound. But we'll have to come back to that. Mark Brewer, my guest, a quick break here. Much more on the other side, including some good news for Democrats as we gear up toward the Democratic National Convention, which this very show will be attending in Charlotte, North Carolina. Everybody stay right where they're at. We'll continue with Mark Brewer right after we do this.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiani.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic as we head into the rush hour. The activity has picked up. We have an accident on eastbound 94 just before Woodward that has your left lane blocked. Over in Westland, Wayne Road south of Palmer, that is closed due to a structure fire, so we're going to avoid that area completely. We got heavy traffic on 94 eastbound between Rotunda and Weir Street, and also heavy traffic on 94 westbound between 11 Mile and Vanier. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. We've got a lot to get to yet, so we're just going to hit the ground running. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Candidate for the United States Senate, Pete Hoekstra, has a new ad out. Let's quickly listen to what that sounds like.
There's a lot of things you can call Pete Hoekstra. A reformer who, as a congressman, took on the Washington establishment. A businessman who knows how to create jobs. Fighter that protects our traditional values. Fiscal conservative. And the person America turned to fix our intelligence gathering operation. Now, people all across Michigan think it's time to call Pete Hoekstra something else. Senator.
I'm Pete Hoekstra, and I approve this message.
I'm sorry. Mark, I'm sorry. I find that really, really... What I did learn is that it's actually Hoekstra, not Hoekstra. So I apologize for getting it wrong the 4,000 times I've said it. Your thoughts, Mark?
Well, Tony, it's hard to know where to start in terms of trying to tell the truth about this ad. Intelligence reformer, Tony? This guy... is notorious as one of the biggest leakers of classified intelligence information in the history of the Congress. I mean, hands down, you can find that information out there. Reformer of Washington? This is somebody who, after he left the Congress, went to work for a Washington lobbying firm, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Fiscal conservative? You know, he voted for the Bush tax cuts. And has voted time and time again to do things that have increased the national debt enormously. I mean, this is a completely false picture of Pete Hoekstra. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that he has, I guess the old-fashioned word is chutzpah, Tony, the chutzpah to run such an ad.
Well, I got it. Again, I got to really get out of it, Mark. We're just going to leave it there. You did a nice job of countering it, and we're going to leave it alone. You know, there's a little good news. I want to share this with the audience. The Democratic National Committee Platform Committee is going to be meeting in here previous to the convention, which literally is right after Labor Day. I'm happy to say, Mark, that our show will be there, and we hope, of course, to visit with you a lot while we're there. But anyway, let's talk about the Platform Committee coming here and what that's all about.
Yeah, we're very honored to host this meeting. Tony Dotson is another sign of Michigan's importance in the election. The entire Platform Committee will be meeting in Detroit August 10th through 12th to put the finishing touches on the platform. There'll be a prior meeting in Minnesota to do some drafting work, but then the entire committee will meet here to wrap up their work, approve the draft that has been put together, but also add things to it. Make amendments as appropriate. So, again, it's just another sign of Michigan's importance that the DNC would send the Platform Committee to Michigan.
All right. Well, yes, and I'm, you know, that's very nice. And if there's any way that it would be helpful to have somebody on the show while they're here or previous to their being here, let me know, and we'll, of course, make time to get someone on the program. Happy to do that. I'm just getting this, Mark, and this may not be news to you, but for me it is. So I'm just going to share it because I'm getting it literally just now, that the Romney campaign has leaked that they will announce who their vice presidential candidate will be this week. I think the timing is dubious.
Oh, sure, Tony. They're desperate to get off this whole topic about the terrible work that he did at Bain, his refusal to release his tax returns. And yesterday, apart from Ed Gillespie, there are a lot of Republicans, Bill Kristol, George Will, a lot of other folks who are saying, look, get over this, release those tax returns, stop whining about these criticisms of your record at Bain. So this is what you do, Tony, if you're a presidential candidate in trouble, you try to change the topic.
Well, that certainly would. Well, that's interesting. You know, they tried to change it Thursday night by floating the rumor that the number one choice had automatically or suddenly changed to Condoleezza Rice. The problem was nobody really wanted to talk about that.
No, that's right, Tony. And it's so ironic today, too. You know, John McCain's in the state campaigning for Mitt Romney today. When Mitt Romney was auditioning to be the vice presidential candidate back in 08, he gave John McCain 23 years of his tax returns. And after McCain took a look at those, he chose Sarah Palin. So that tells you a whole lot about what's in those returns. But again, the hypocrisy here that Romney was willing to do that to one person back in 08 in order to get on the ticket. But to hundreds of millions of Americans, he said, nope, this is none of your business. I'm running for president. The most important job, not just in the United States, arguably, but in the world from a political perspective. And he refuses to tell us about his finances, knowing what we already know about the Cayman Islands and Bermuda and Luxembourg, Swiss bank accounts. You can just imagine what's in those tax returns, Tony.
Absolutely. Let me ask you before we let you go real quick. How are things looking in the Winnie Brinks Roy Schmidt race on the west side of the state, you know, where, of course, you've got the Democrat, the true Democrat now as a write-in candidate? How is that looking?
Well, we're working very hard there, Tony. We're doing a lot of mail, door-to-door, and other activity to make sure people know to write in Winnie Brinks, that they know how to write in Winnie Brinks. I'm very optimistic about her chances if we can get her on the ballot. People in that district, and frankly in Western Michigan generally, have really turned against Roy Schmidt as they have learned about, you know, this last-minute party switch, his duplicity, the effort to put a fake Democrat on the ballot. People do not tolerate those kinds of political games. If we can get her on the ballot, I like her chances in the fall, Tony.
Yeah, I do, too. In fact, the polling numbers I've seen, it's remarkable how well she does head-to-head against him. I mean, remarkable would be the word. It is remarkable, Mark.
So I think, again, people are looking for a fresh face. They're tired of the gamesmanship, the duplicity that they saw and experienced with Roy Schmidt. Just a few months ago, that really goes to your character, to your integrity, and he has shown a lack of both, and people are eager, hungry for an alternative, and we're trying to make sure we give them that alternative in Winnie Brinks.
Very quickly, we have less than a minute left. The state legislature will meet on Wednesday. There are rumors that the voter suppression bills that we fought so hard against that the governor vetoed may come back up and that this one may be veto-proof. Your thoughts?
That's a great concern, that they may, the Republicans may make some changes in those bills and attempt to satisfy the governor. We'll be out there opposing him again, and hopefully he continues to do the right thing and refuses to put his signature on those bills. But again, Tony, we've seen this time and again, Republican efforts to change the rules. They can't win elections with candidates and issues, so they try to win by changing the rules.
Mark, I got to tell you, it really bothers me that they just can't take no for an answer. But that's all right. We've got a lot of fight in us. We don't need to worry about it. We'll look forward. I know you've got a press conference this morning. You've got some questions for John McCain, and you're going to ask him. In the meantime, have a great week, and we will visit with you again next Monday.
Thank you, Tony.
You bet. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. When we come back. Talking about voter suppression. Not that Christine Berry is into voter suppression. She's here to talk about it in our blog roll segment. That's right. She of bloggingformichigan.com. We'll take a break. We'll continue with First Shift right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to 94 eastbound just before Woodward Avenue, where an accident has your left lane blocked and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from West Grand Boulevard. Eastbound 94 at Weir Street, disabled vehicle that has just been cleared, but still got some backups there. Heavy traffic also on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck and Wayne Road south of Palmer. This is in Westland. That's closed due to a fire, so please avoid that area. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
By gollies, you've got to hand it to those Republicans in Congress. They're a tenacious bunch. No, not tenacious. More like dogmatic. Obstinate and obtuse, too. Pig-headed. Yeah, that's it. Once again, on July 11th, GOP lawmakers threw a group hissy fit on the floor of the House over the Affordable Care Act that President Obama and the Democrats passed 2 years ago, a law the Supreme Court has just recently ruled to be constitutional. The House Republicans hate, hate, hate that law. So, all 244 GOP members pursed their lips in a collective pout and voted in lockstep to repeal the blankety-blank ACA. That'll show Obama who's boss, they crowed. Well, not really, since their repeal won't pass the Senate, much less get past the president's veto pen. But these pouty solons are not really interested in legislating. They're into political peacocking, putting on a show for the fans in the far right-wing bleachers. And apparently, it's an interminable farce, for this was the 31st time that they voted to repeal the law. 31 replays with the same do-nothing result. Don't they have real work to do? They've crossed over from appearing ideologically steadfast to just plain stupid. They snidely assail the health care reform as Obamacare, as though that's a pejorative. But as the law has begun taking effect, more and more Americans are liking it because it produces real benefits. 30 million people who've had no coverage will now get it. Millions of seniors will get help in affording prescription drugs. Plus, all of us will get some relief from insurance company gouging. Obamacare is fast becoming a label of pride. This is Jim Hightower saying, if I was Obama, I'd run on it and go after the petty politicos who are trying to take away the benefits that it provides for people.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Yes, the time does fly when you're having fun. Very quickly, before we get on to Christine, I want to remind you this evening, 6:30 is when it starts, 6 o'clock is when the doors open. The Grosse Pointe Democratic Club is sponsoring, hosting a candidates forum for congressional candidates in the new 14th Congressional District. If you'd like to come, just come. Again, doors open at 6, begins at 6:30 at the Grosse Pointe War Museum. It's that simple. Show up, be there. I will be hosting this wonderful event. With that said, let's do an intro and get this thing going.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutiae
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, as the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And joining us now is my dear friend Christine. What's it like, Christine, to know that on a daily basis you are transcending minutia?
It's hard to live up to, but I do my best, Tony. Thank you.
Good answer. You know, normally, and you'll excuse me for doing this without getting permission beforehand. Normally, I wouldn't do this, but you've actually, as of July 5th, have really been going through some personal stuff. When that storm came through that crazy morning, you were one of the unfortunate people that had to deal with trees down and all that good stuff. How are things going?
Well, we're still involved in cleanup. We were outside yesterday, and we found another tree that has a huge crack in the base of it, so I got to find out if this is going to be considered a hazard and cleaned up by the insurance company or if I need to pay for it, because if it falls the way that it's leaning, we're going to have some real damage on the house. But, you know, it's okay. Everything's worked out. We were lucky in that we were somewhat prepared in terms of having things like a plan for if we lost power, for example, because we did lose power for 3.5 or 4 days. And we had enough money in the bank where we could go and stay at a hotel until we got reimbursed, that kind of thing. I feel very sorry for the people who don't have those kind of resources in place. But it is quite a rude awakening to get up in the morning and look out the window and see a tree where no tree should be.
Yeah, because it wasn't there when you went to bed last night.
No, in fact, when I first looked, you know, you're sleeping, you don't really know what's going on. You look out the window and you're like, what is that? Oh, no.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad that you guys are surviving this without, of course, mentioning the name of your insurance company, which we will not do. You did tell me they have been exceptionally good to you.
Yes, they have. I'm very pleased with the compassion of the adjuster and the people doing the work. Everybody's done really great. So,
all right. Well, let me direct everybody to bloggingformichigan.com, where they're going to find the post that is going to deal with today's topic. We're just having a conversation with Mark Brewer, and I know you, God bless you, you listen to the show, and we were talking about what may happen this Wednesday, where the Republicans are promising, and Secretary of State Ruth Johnson has promised, that the voter suppression bills that the governor vetoed most likely will be coming back to the floor, and they may re-present these to him in a format that may be agreeable to him. You write in the very opening of this post the undeserved accolades that Governor Snyder received over vetoing these bills. Undeserved, really?
I think undeserved, Tony, because I think it was kabuki. He's even said he had no problem with the content of the bills. It was the technical issues. So if you're not standing up to voter suppression, you're simply standing up to how the voter suppression is implemented. Yeah, I think those accolades are undeserved. I mean, there's articles out there referring to him as courageous for standing up to his party and saying he has integrity and whatnot. I think that that's undeserved, especially when they're saying that because they're contrasting him with Republican voter suppression efforts. So, yes, I did thank him for the veto, and then when I really started reading through how it had happened and seeing that it was going to come back, I read his reason for the veto. I was like, you know what, he's just showing off. He's polishing up his one tough nerd brand, and it doesn't matter.
You know, it's interesting, and I would feel differently about this as if somewhere in the history of voter suppression we could attach at some level any Democrat to it. But we can't. I mean, we can't. From a policy perspective, I'm not saying there's never been a Democrat that's tried to suppress a vote, because that would be a ridiculous statement. But we've never seen an organized effort as we have and as we do in the Republican Party to literally, I mean, we've got video of Grover Norquist standing at the Conservative Political Action Committee talking about why it's good to suppress the vote, because it makes, we make sure that people of color don't show up, and because we know people of color don't vote for Republicans. This is a concerted effort. This is really disturbing.
It is, and if you look at the, what is it, or maybe even 3 decades now of video and information that we have, that this is a long-term plan to build an architecture of law that disenfranchises people who tend to vote Democratic, or even independents maybe who might be Democratic. you know, this is really un-American. It's unpatriotic, and it's flat out mean-spirited. All the way through, one of the things I mentioned was Terry Lynn Land's voter suppression efforts. I'm sure you remember them. I think it was 2008. Yeah, it was. She was the chair of the John McCain campaign.
Yep.
And using foreclosure lists to challenge voters and engaged in voter caging, where she sent out cards, and if they came back undeliverable, the people were supposed to be purged from the list. Now, a court stepped in and kind of stopped that. People had the right to use provisional ballots. But, you know, and I don't have any evidence, but I just heard from around the county here in Shiawassee that provisional ballots weren't being counted properly. They were being discarded. They weren't being handed out. So even if you have the law on your side, the reality is these things aren't perfectly implemented in the precincts. People don't know what to do with provisional ballots, and they end up not being used.
Well,
so the law is still effective.
And that's a conversation that I've had on the show before. I may have even had this with you, Christine, but you know, there's always these wonderful older retired people that volunteer at my voting place. It just happens to be that they're all retired. I don't know if it's that way everywhere because I don't vote everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every time I show up, the same, pretty much the same lady is always sitting there. God bless her. She's been volunteering to do this for at least 15 years. Says to me, I need your driver's license. And I tell her every time, honey, no, you don't. Oh, yeah. And I've got to have your driver's license. You can't vote without it.
Yeah, there's a lot of accidental suppression, I think, or even discouragement. Like I put up a picture in today's post of a sign on the precinct door that said, have your photo ID ready. And I don't think there were any bad intentions behind that sign. I think that the people who worked there were understanding that if you had your photo ID ready, they could get you through the line faster and your experience would be better. But there was nothing on the sign that says, if you don't have a photo ID, you can still vote. You know, you should still come into the building and vote.
Right, and a part of this, of course, a big part of this, of course, is how are they being trained? The rank and file people that work at these voting precincts, how are they being trained? And I can't blame that sweet lady that's sitting there for this because she was trained to ask for my ID. She doesn't know any better.
Exactly, and I'm a big believer. And I talk about this in the post today that when you see this kind of thing, you should not confront the poll worker, the election worker, whatever, because these people probably are just doing what they were trained to do. And you should have a process for dealing with these things. If you do happen to observe it, what I do is I call my county party chair, and she calls the MDP, and I think they have an attorney who calls the supervisor.
Yep.
And it gets worked out that way. And that way you never have to embarrass the poll worker or do anything that might harm a productive relationship that you could have with that poll worker. And you don't, you know, make other voters uncomfortable as well and maybe have some of them slip out the door while you're in there causing a scene. So I think that the poll workers that we have are good-intentioned people trying to provide a service, at least in my area. That's the same thing, Tony. Most of them are older, retired people who are volunteering, you know, just want to help their community.
Yeah, I have a real hard time believing, for those cynics that are listening to us right now, Christine, I have a real hard time believing that this now 80-something-year-old woman gets up on election day and goes, I can hardly wait to screw over the voters of this community.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to. And that's kind of one of the sickest things about the whole process that the Republicans use is they make it law. And then, you know, people, most of us, want to follow the law. We want to do what's right, you know. And so by challenging the law in some way as an election worker, you'd be doing the wrong thing. So you follow the law, and if it's not been taught to you properly, you know, bad things can happen.
You know,
voters can walk away.
It's really kind of fascinating, and you know a lot of very, different people, as do I. I mean, not everybody I know is a Democrat, and frankly, not everybody I know is political. I mean, I know a lot of people that are just apolitical. As much as that infuriates me, it's my and everybody else's reality, and I'm okay with that. I don't walk around saying to everybody, what are you doing? Because then I would go absolutely certifiably insane, and I would be in a home somewhere in a padded room. I get that. So sometimes you just, Christine, got to let stuff go. You just have to. With that said, you know, it's interesting as I talk with people about voter suppression and I talk to people about the importance of voting and I talk to people about the importance of knowing the law, I am astounded by how many people just don't seem to be connected. I mean, they say, well, I vote, but do you know what your rights are? Well, no, I have rights. What do you mean rights? I have rights? Ah, yeah, you do. Christine, let's hold that thought and come back and continue on the other side, shall we?
Okay.
All right, Christine Berry, bloggingformichigan.com. This is our blog roll segment. A quick break. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Not only the interview, but the entire show. Stay with us. Much to get to.
First Chip with Tony Trivio.
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310wdtw with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, Christine Berry with bloggingformichigan.com and christineberry.com, B-A-R-R-Y, is my guest in the blog roll segment. I do want to mention very quickly, Christine, that everybody around the state in the last 8 weeks, give or take a week here or there, did receive their new voter registration card because of redistricting. A lot of people will have a different polling place, so make sure you check that information. Make sure you sign your card. I carry mine with me. Some people insist on having theirs laminated. I don't care. Treat it with respect, of course. But, folks, make sure you look at that stuff. Don't just get that card and throw it to the side. There's some critical information on there, and I just wanted to remind people of that, Christine.
Yeah, the first thing I did when I got it, of course, I recognized what it was and I knew why I was getting it. So I looked at my precinct to see if everything was the same, and I was pretty sure that it was going into it. But and then I started asking around, did you get your card? Because if you didn't and you think you should have one, you better call the county clerk and find out what's going on. So.
Yep, these are all, again, this is all part of a voter. And your county clerk, by the way, controls so much more of the process than I think many of you realize. And so just not getting that card can affect you because you could show up. I mean, mine changed radically. My polling place changed. My state district changed. My Senate district changed. My congressional district changed. Everything. I mean, everything changed on mine. So that now became a critical piece of information, especially for someone like me that votes for dog catcher. I mean, I show up at every election, no matter how big or small. And I often tell this story. About a year ago, there was a primary, and I showed up at 6 o'clock in the evening, Christine, and I was voter 12 for the day.
Wow. Well, that happens sometimes, especially in areas like mine where we might get an election and have one or two things going on in my township, even though it's a much bigger election for the city next door. So we have very low turnout in my place, but even if they have higher turnout in, say, Owosso next door to me, we end up with historically low turnout in my township just because we didn't have much on the ballot, and people aren't aware that there's even an election because nobody's in our township campaigning for anything.
Well, I got to tell you, if they go to bloggingformichigan.com this morning and print off, I actually would ask people to print off today's post. I think ultimately it's going to carry you through the August 7th primary, the November 6th general. It's just good fundamental information. There's all kinds of links that you can go and educate yourself. And like I think Christine has no problem with this. I don't. If you don't believe something we're saying, go ahead and find it otherwise. But you're going to find that we're telling you the truth. Why would we not?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have any problem with what I put out there. If you want to challenge it, then challenge it.
Absolutely.
Challenge it to me directly, and I'll answer it.
Yes, you will. No question about that. Yes, you will. Well, listen, I want to thank you for all your hard work today. I know that you did not expect to find just another tree with another crack in it, so I appreciate your time today knowing that, yeah, listen, this is important stuff. You got to keep an eye on what's going on there. So thanks for making the time for us this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on again.
My pleasure. Christine Berry again with bloggingformichigan.com and christineberry.com. That's Christine Berry, B-A-R-R-Y. And check it out. That's our blog roll segment for today. All right. Remind you one more time that this evening, the doors open at 6. The festivities begin at 6:30. I will be the moderator for a candidates forum in the 14th Congressional District this evening at the Grosse Pointe War Memorial. Just go ahead and Google it or search for it, MapQuest it, however you want to do it, but you'll find it. It's simple enough to get to. And looking forward to being there. Three of the four candidates have confirmed. Gary Peters, Congressman Gary Peters, will be there. Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence will be there. Former State Rep Mary Waters will be there. Congressman Hanson Clark has not indicated that he will be in attendance, but we are hopeful that he will. In the meantime, there will be three candidates confirmed there. So no matter what, I encourage you to come out, especially if you are a member of the 14th Congressional District and you're not quite sure who you would like to vote for, this is an excellent opportunity for you to get answers to questions that matter to each and every one of you. So I am looking forward to going out there. Yep, I had to go out and buy a spiffy brand new suit for this because, frankly, I had nothing to wear. And so I can at least go now and not look like I'm wearing somebody else's clothing. Which is not necessarily a good thing. So that's that. All right. As we get ready to wrap things up, you heard the commercial just a few minutes ago, unioncircle.com. Now, why am I talking about this so much? Because this is truly ground floor. I want you to get involved because it's an empowering voice. I want you to sign up, A, because it's free. I mean, it's free. It doesn't cost a thing to sign up. So why would you not do it? Number two, you don't have to be a part of a union to join. Number three, as it, including now, but as it grows, there are going to be all kinds of offers and discounts and opportunities for you as a member of UnionCircle.com. So you'll want to check that out. Number three, or maybe I'm not number four, doesn't matter. Next one is that the people that are behind UnionCircle.com are very serious about making a difference in the lives of families. serious about making a difference in the lives of families. And so I want you to participate in that. I want, if there's any advantage coming your way, I want you to take advantage of that. All right? And there are lots of other reasons. Just go to unioncircle.com and check out what they're doing there. You can integrate it with Facebook. You can integrate it with Twitter. You can integrate it with LinkedIn. It doesn't matter. This isn't about some, you know, we're trying to keep you separate from, not at all. This is something that's fully integratable into the social media stuff you're already doing. There are links to news and information. Just go check it out, unioncircle.com. It's really a very cool concept, a very unique idea, and it was beautifully done. And as it continues to grow, you will continue to benefit from that. Absolutely will. All right. Before we wrap things up today, do want to let you know that tomorrow we have Chris Mihalakis on the show. That is for sure. And I just did this show. I should know. I just cut the promo, and I'm already blanking. So, but I know we have Mihalakis on the show. Oh, we're going to cover the pipe fitters strike. We mentioned that on the show on Thursday or Friday, so we're going to get updated on that. We're working on a guest from the ACLU, and on that case we briefly mentioned where the ACLU is suing the Highland Park school system for not providing the education that they need to be. And you stop and think about it. All the conversations that we have on this show about education, which are many, many, many conversations about education, how often do we talk about education? It's always about financial issues, or it's always about what the state Republicans are trying to do to unions. It's always about the retirement. It's never about teaching. It's never about the quality of education. It's never about giving teachers opportunity to teach, is it? Ever. Well, maybe that conversation will now be forced to change. That'll do it for me today. Anthony and Jeff, thanks so much. Folks, you've been an amazing audience. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And that'll do it for me for today. Come see me tonight in Grosse Pointe. In the meantime, and as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to 94 eastbound just before Woodward Avenue, where an accident has your left lane blocked, and that's causing heavy traffic from West Grand Boulevard. Eastbound 94 at Weir Street, some good news there. They just cleared that disabled vehicle, but still got some slow traffic in that area. Also, heavy traffic on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road and Wayne Road south of Palmer. This is in Westland. That's closed due to a structure fire, so please avoid that area. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Ford.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and 74. Tomorrow, 99 degrees with isolated thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 73 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn.